Thank you for calling the Bank of Cardiff. This is Nicole. Can I start out with your 16-digit reservation code?
Yes, it is 251116010021416.
1416. Okay, let me just pull up your file real quick. Okay, is this a Baghdad lumber sawmill?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Okay. And who am I speaking with?
Ron Harris, or James R. Harris.
Okay. James?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, James. I'm just going to confirm some info we have on file for you right here, and then I'll answer any questions that you have, okay?
Okay.
Are you guys in an LLC?
Yes.
Okay. And is the address over there 2932 Christianburg Road?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And are you the 100% owner?
Yes.
Okay. And if we get disconnected, what's a good number for you?
502-321-6662.
6662. Okay, and what's a good email for you as well?
Ron, R-O-N, at BaghdadLumber.com.
BaghdadLumber.com. Okay, perfect. So we have many programs depending on your specific needs. So why don't you kind of give me, you know, an idea of what you're looking for, and I'll point you in the right direction.
Well, my ideal situation would be to have about a $100,000 line of credit. I've got, there's a woodworking shop that's not too far from me that the guy is retiring and he's going out of business, and, or he's retiring and he's selling off everything. And this is an area of the business that, you know, where they do the hardwood floor, the planing, the surfacing, you know, all the big woodworking machinery and tools. And you know, this is the area that that I have kind of wanted to get into. And you know, this is a good opportunity. I could buy the entire business out.
Oh, wow. To get.
But, you know, I need... you know, I could buy the entire woodworking business out and add it to the business we have already, you know, just as an added feature. Right now, we are outsourcing, you know, we sell a lot of lumber that gets made into hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman is the guy that that takes the lumber and mills it and makes it into hardwood floors. So, you know, we're selling the lumber, driving 45 minutes and dropping it off at his shop, and he's turning it into hardwood floors for the customer, and then the customer takes it and puts it in her home. So basically, we would be, you know, we could cut that out, and we could sell the lumber and mill it ourselves, and you know, do the, you know, turn it into hardwood flooring ourselves. And I need you know, $100,000 line of credit would buy him out and help me get everything set up in a new building, you know, as far as wiring, and I'd need another forklift, and I'm going to need a lot of, you know, miscellaneous tools and different things to get it all going. And I don't know if this is a possibility or not. I just got it in the mail. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd call. My credit score, I know, is not the best. Actually, if you run the credit score on me and my wife, mine is my credit score is not that good. Hers is better. My credit score, I'm 57 years old. My credit score has been 700 to 800 all my life until this last year, and I just recently bought a almost an $80,000 truck through Chrysler, and that really took a hit on me. And,
yeah.
So I'm just asking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is your wife part owner as well?
She is not technically a member of the corporation or the LLC. No.
Okay, so it's just you?
Yes.
Okay. So our working capital is, we take credit score into consideration, but it's not one of the bigger factors. We look more at your... you know, your sales and your cash flow and things like that. the working capital itself is similar to a line of credit in the fact that we will get you approved for, you know, the largest amount possible with the long term, and then kind of work backwards with you on how you want to, you know, how much you want to take and how long you want to take it out for. I know you said $100,000. What were your gross annual sales like last year?
Well, this this is a very unusual business because you don't work for the IRS, do you?
No.
There's a lot of cash. There's a lot of cash that goes through here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like a laundromat. There's two sets of books. They are finishing up my 2015 tax return right now.
Mm-hmm.
The P&L statement for Bagdad Lumber for 2015 was $333,000 gross. The actual sales was about $450,000, and the business is actually grossing about $450,000 to $500,000 a year. Of course, that not all that gets shown on books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at last year's P&L statement. You know, out of QuickBooks, it's showing, you know, 333. Year before that was 284, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A year before that was, I think, 240, 230, something like that. You know, business is growing, you know, every year. This is a second career of mine, too, by the way. I have another business, which you can look it up online. It's harrisinsurance.net. I was in the insurance business for 31 years. I still have half ownership in that insurance agency. And I also own Ron's Guns. My full name is James Ronald Harris, so I go by my middle name Ron, but I give you James because that is my full name.
Okay.
But like I say, I still have half interest in the insurance agency. I own Ron's Guns and I own Bagdad Lumber, and yeah, I've got people running family is running the insurance agency, and I've got people running the gun store. I'm just kind of in and out. So, you know, Bagdad Lumber has been in business full time, I think for 4 years, maybe 5 years now. You know, this was a hobby of mine that, woodworking that I started up. I started it 8 or 10 years ago, but decided to go full time with it 4 or 5 years ago. And as my wife says, got carried away again. And but I've got I've got five guys working for me full time at Bagdad Lumber.
Okay.
And you know, and it just keeps growing and expanding. You know, we're kind of a niche market. You know, we specialize in kiln dried furniture grade stock. You know, we're not your average sawmill that's out here sawing up fence boards and barn siding and, you know, things like that. You know, we're sawing and drying, you know, like you say, the hardwood floors, the wood used to make your kitchen cabinets, you
mm-hmm.
know, furniture, you know, things like this. So it's a step above.
Okay.
And, being able to buy this wood shop out and add the feature of being able to tongue and groove and make our own hardwood floor, being able to plane the lumber down to a finish, you know, it would be, we would have a complete system. You know, this would be a business that the logs would come in on the truck. We would take the logs, saw them into lumber, dry the lumber, and then turn around and mill that lumber out and make you baseboard or crown mold or shoe strip or hardwood flooring or,
yeah.
You know, it'd be from log to finished product is what it would be.
That's a huge growth, yeah.
Yeah, and we also have another building that's under construction. If you go on BagdadLumber.com website,
mm-hmm.
and you look at a lot of the photos, you know, you'll see There's a lot of aerial photos that kind of show the premises and the layout. You know, we have a 5,000 square foot building that's under roof right now. And, you know, that was also part of my plans of, you know, of a line of credit was to help us go ahead and get this building closed up, wrapped up, get it finished. You know, most of what's been done to the building so far as getting it under roof is it's been, you know, done out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't move as long as quickly. And you know, that's kind of my story in a nutshell. I mean,
okay.
You know,
so it sounds like, you know, the working capital can really, you know, help you. It's a cash loan. So you can use it as you see fit. And like I said, what we would do here is, you know, approve you for the largest amount possible with the longest term, and then just work backwards with you from there to see, you know, how much you're going to take, you know, for how long and what's going to make the most sense for your business.
Right.
Going forward, the woodworking shop is, I mean, that's a huge growth, and that would be awesome for you guys to get. What kind of return on investment would you be able to see with that?
Well, I sat down and I did some figuring as far as the last couple of years of what I had paid, you know, to have lumber milled for mm-hmm. other people. And that was to this particular shop. And, so, you know, I'm spending, you know, easily $50,000 to $75,000 a year, you know, in having lumber milled out in some way, shape or form, you know, and I think that I could probably buy his entire business out somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000. If I had you know, this is where, if you haven't figured it out yet or not, I'm a bit of a haggler, and you know, if you know, money talks, and you know, money talks, and you know, when you walk in and you know you're ready to write a check to the man, and you know you can write it, and the check is good right there on the spot. Well, you know, I'm going to get it at a better deal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's asking 50. I feel like I could probably at least get it for 40. He might get tough, you know, I might have to go 45, but you know, I'd probably start at 30 or 35
just kind of work
out. Yeah, you know, this is one of those businesses, you know, I mean, you have to do that with everything you get.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have to have, and that's what I'm looking for, is just to have that working capital to be able to, you know, if I run, you know, we could use another forklift, you know, if I run up on a good forklift, you know, be able to, you know, they're wanting $30,000 for it, you know, and I can offer them 20 right there on the spot, you know, money talks.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Okay. So
it's a great big advantage, you know, if you can walk up and say, you know, hey, I'll give you $20,000 for the forklift right now. You know, I can write you a check right now. Not that I got to call the bank and get approved and talk with them, and I'll let you know something next week. You know, that don't work as well.
Yeah. Okay. So so to buy the actual business, you would need about $50,000.
Yeah, it would take at least. Well, he's asking 50, so you know, let's just assume that. That he stuck to his guns and didn't budge at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would take 50 to do it, but it is going to take some additional money for various things. To, you know, number one, it's all got to be transported from his location's about 45 miles from ours, and you know, we're talking about some pretty big pieces of equipment, and you know, this stuff's going to have to be transported and moved in. A lot of it is three-phase electric, so, you know, there's going to have to be, you know, electricians are going to have to be brought in, wiring's going to have to be run, three-phase converters are going to have to be installed, so, You know, you're probably easily looking at another 15 to 20, you know, to get everything here, get it wired and situated up and running.
Okay.
And, yeah. So, you know, there again, you know, all part of the working capital.
Mm-hmm. And you said you needed a new forklift as well, correct?
We could definitely use a new forklift. You know, I've looked at some several times, and, you know, we've got the new building going up, and, you know, it'd be nice to have a second forklift, and, you know, that's not something that we have to have right now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it is something that, you know, just like this deal, you know, this, you run across the deal like this where it's a really good deal, you know, mm-hmm. you want to be able to be prepared to jump.
Yeah, no, definitely. The only reason I'm asking, so, you know, we have the working capital and the equipment financing here, and so what we would usually, you know, what we like to do when people are trying to, you know, buy new equipment with their working capital is to put that more along the lines of the equipment financing. That way that stretches out that payment, and then, you know, it keeps your cash open for you for other things.
Yeah.
And we can definitely, you know, the forklift, if you had a ballpark figure, we can get you approved on that, and then once you find it, then we can go ahead and get it, you know, get it paid for and everything.
Or, you know, I could, you know, this happens to us all the time. The phone rings, and it's a logger, and he's got 20,000 board feet of walnut logs mm-hmm. that he's wanting to sell. And, you know, well, walnut log, you know, you're going to be looking at, you know, at least $1 a board foot. So, you know, so there's $20,000, you know, in walnut logs. And, you know, we take those walnut logs and saw it into walnut lumber and dry it and turn around and sell it for $8 a board foot. So, you know, we buy it for $1 a board foot,
mm-hmm.
turn around, saw it and dry it and sell it for $8 a board foot. But you gotta have your $20,000, you know, when these deals come along to buy that much, you know, logs to be able to turn around and, you know, cash flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I understand. Yeah, and that's something, you know, we work with a lot of businesses here is when, you know, they like to buy things in bulk and they get a discount or things like that, then, you know, they can call us up, they have that cash ready, and we can, you know, get it for them right away so they don't have to lose out on anything. And, you know, as long as it makes sense and you can make money off of it, then that's, you know, that's what we want to do for you.
I do quite a bit of that. There's actually another, there's a real large sawmill operation down the other side of Nashville. And it's about 6 hours from me. And I've got a big truck and a trailer. And I can drive my rig down there and buy a whole load of lumber, a lot of times already sawed up. I can go down there and get it and buy it cheaper than I can buy the logs here and saw it. And now I've got to go down and get it and bring it back, and then we put it in our kilns and dry it. But, you know, the transportation, you know, it really doesn't add but about 6 cents a board foot to the cost of the lumber.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to give you an example, I made a run down to the other side of Nashville about 2 weeks ago, and I bought a whole truckload of cherry lumber, and
mm-hmm.
this cherry lumber was already sawed up for 75 cents a board foot. Well, a cherry log will cost me 60 to 65 cents to buy the log here at home. And so I just bought the lumber for 75 cents. And, you know, so there's no way that I can buy the log here for 60 or 65 and then pay my man to saw it up. You know, by the time I pay my man to saw it up, you know, I've got close to $1 in it. And I still got to dry it. So,
yeah.
You know, so it's but there again, you know, I'm buying a whole load of cherry lumber, you know, so you got to have that working capital to do things like that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. For the capital for the, you know, buying out the other business and stuff like that, when would you need it by?
Well, this guy's got it all up for sale right now. You know, he's got it all up for sale, and actually I had I don't know if you're familiar with Direct Capital or not, but I did a little business with them in the past, and they approved me for everything, but I'm looking for a line of credit. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not looking for a loan for a specific amount for a certain thing. You know, I need that line of credit. You know, I need to be able to, you know, you say, okay, well, we can get you $75,000 and you can take that and go do the best you can on buying that equipment and take the rest of it and wheel and deal and get your stuff up and running. And, and whatever I use, and whatever I don't use, I don't use.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, like I say, the perfect scenario, like I said in the beginning, would be about $100,000. And, you know, the paper I got in the mail said, you know, up to 250. You know, I don't really need 250. But if I had a $100,000 line of credit that, you know, I could tie into and use, that would be the ideal situation. You know, Direct Capital has told me, you know, we will buy the shop out for you. You know, you go down and negotiate a price, tell us how much everything is going to be, and we will directly send him a check. And, you know, I'm like, well,
that's not what you're looking for.
That's okay, but that doesn't solve the rest of my problems, you know.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, well, what do I do about all the rest of it? You know, I got to, you know, there's a lot more parties in this than just buying him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got two semi-trailers. You know, those semi-trailers have got to be moved. And, you know, it's going to cost a little bit of money to get those moved. You know, he's got equipment down there that is going to take a pretty good size rig to pick up and load and haul. You know, like say, electrician's going to have to come, you know. So,
anyway. Yeah. No, you know, I know what you're saying, and that's kind of, you know, what I said we would do here. We'll have, you know, that large amount that we approve you for. You can take what you want, and then, you know, if you want to take a certain amount and then come back later and take more, that's perfectly, you know, that's all up to you. And it's you know, it's a cash loan. You go do what you want to do with it.
yeah.
And then, you know, halfway through your loan, you would be eligible for, like, a refinancing. And in that, if you were interested in that, then we would, you know, get you, we would be able to open up more funds for you on longer terms. And you can, you know, that way if something comes up for, you know, materials or you want to go out and buy that, like you were telling me, then you can do that as well. And that's just once you get your foot in the door and we have a relationship with you and you show you make payments on time, then it opens up a lot more to you. But, so, How long have you been considering this loan? I know you said you applied with Direct Capital, correct?
Yes.
How long have you been looking into it?
Well, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, when I discovered that this guy was going to retire and sell all of his tools out, and you know, it hit me, and I sat and thought about it and started looking at the numbers. And you know, like I say, this is something that I had plans of adding to, you know, to our operation down the road anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know,
this kind of just fell into your lap.
yeah. Maybe not quite this quick, you know. I was thinking maybe a couple of years from now, trying to add the milling operation, you know, what we're already doing. But, you know, then this comes up, and, you know, and it's like a really good deal. And I mean, I already know all the equipment because, you know, we've been taking lumber to him, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, and he mills it for us. So I know that his tools and machinery and everything is in good shape. You know, I see the finished product. And,
yeah. And you've already crunched your numbers, like, you know that'll make you money.
You know, right. It's not like I'm buying tools and machinery from somebody that I know absolutely nothing about.
Yeah.
And you know, me and this guy's had a working relationship for the last, you know, good solid 3 to 4 years, And yeah, if you get online and you Google Tongue and Groove, you know, try to find a shop that you can take your lumber to and just have it tongue and groove in this area. It's mm-hmm. wide open. I mean, there's hardly nobody. It's one of those things that it's just like nobody, it's hard to find somebody that can mill that lumber and turn it into flooring. And the ones that do have the milling capability and can mill the lumber into tongue and groove flooring, well, they're doing like I'm doing. They sell lumber too.
Yeah.
So if you come in to see me and you want to do 2,000 square feet of hardwood floor in your house, and you come in to talk to me about buying the lumber, well, the last thing I want to do is send you to one of these guys that has the mill shop that also sells lumber.
And you could do it yourself.
Yeah, you're going to go talk to them, and they're going to talk you into buying their lumber, and you're going to buy their lumber and let them mill it, and all in one stop.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way years ago. So, you know, don't never send your customer to competition. And which I learned that actually back in the insurance business. But, you know, this guy, he had the milling shop set up, and that's all he did. You know, he didn't sell lumber. He didn't sell any lumber at all. So if I had a customer that said, well, I'd like to buy 2,000 square feet of lumber, and I'll take it down there and have him mill it and turn it into flooring myself, I'd say, sure, fine. Here's his phone number.
Yeah.
Here's his phone number and his address. And so.
Okay. Perfect. Have you went to your bank for any kind of loan? Did you have a line of credit or anything like that through them?
I do. Yes, I do have a line of credit through them. I don't have anything that's that large.
Okay, and, so it's maxed out.
It's not maxed out. I've got funds available. I just don't have access to that kind of money.
Okay. Just not as much as you need.
I've actually got two commercial lines of credit with local banks. But like I say, they're just not that big.
How much are they for, if you don't mind me asking?
One of them is like $20,000, and I think I've got 10 on it. And the other one is a bigger one. It's like I think it's $50,000, and I've got maybe 20 of it. You know, so even if I put both of them together, I couldn't pull together a $100,000 line of credit. And then, you know, I like to kind of not have everything wrapped up in at one place also.
Yeah, makes sense.
And yeah.
Okay, perfect. And, you know, do you have, just out of, you know, curiosity, do you have a plan B if you can't get this loan? Will you be going to your bank or anything like that?
I have thought about contacting the bank, yes. I have thought about contacting them. You know, it's just like when I bought the truck. You know, it's almost an $80,000 truck. You know, I contacted the bank. You know, they were going to loan me the money, but they didn't cut me quite the deal that Chrysler Credit did.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I got it straight through the dealer. Ordered the truck brand new, and Chrysler Credit offered a lot better terms, you know, than local bank did. You know, local bank told me right up front, you know, we'd probably have a hard time competing.
Yeah.
And they did. And, you know, and it didn't hurt my feelings any that, you know, I've got my main business, you know, the whole operation and everything's through the local bank, and, you know, I've got the, you know, truck through Chrysler Credit. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. To me, it doesn't hurt anything.
Definitely.
You know, my plan B, if I can't get a line of credit, you know, would be maybe to go talk to the bank. and then maybe the other would be to back off and forget about it, as much as I don't really want to. But, you know, maybe back off and forget about it and wait till another day.
Okay.
And wait for another day and hope for another big sale.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, so moving forward, you know, it sounds like the word...
Go ahead. I was going to say, you know, wood shops do go up for sale every so often. You know, it's just not the one that you've been working with for the last 3 or 4 years. It's 45 minutes down the road from you that you know everything about it already.
Yeah. Why is the other shop going out of business? Do you know? Is he just retiring or?
Yeah, he's retiring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's got some health issues, and he's had a lot of back problems for the last year or two, and I know it's really slowed him down a lot on his on getting his work and his orders completed.
Okay.
I had a feeling he was on his was going to do something because it's it's just too much.
Okay, so So moving forward, in order to, you know, go ahead and get you an approval, there's a couple things I would need from you, and it would be we have a one-page application. I would need your most recent 6 month bank statements and tax return. I know you said you're working on 2015, right?
Yes, my accountant, she is working on all of it right now. I actually got an email from her this morning, so I do not have the 2015. I've got, like I say, I'm half owner of Harris Insurance Inc. as well,
mm-hmm.
and she does the tax returns for. She's an enrolled agent with the IRS. She does the tax returns for Harris Insurance Inc. and Ron's Guns and Baghdad Lumber, and then of course she does all of our personal. And she just finished Harris Insurance's returns, and I signed those last Saturday. And she had a few more pieces of information she needed from me on this on Baghdad Lumber.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it up to her, and I said, you know, I thought we, you know, what's the deadline? You know, I said I thought we passed the deadline, and she said, well. She said, we are, but I filed an extension on that. She said, we're actually good until, I forget, it was October 15th or something like that. But she said she'd probably have the 2015 here with the, hopefully by the end of the week.
Okay. We could work off of 2014 if you wanted to get it all started quickly. That's
that
not
I
a problem.
Do, that I do have. And, yeah, that I do have, and I think I guess I had. This is the business loan application here that come in the envelope.
Yeah, I can email you one as well if that's easier, and I can email you the application along with the documents that we would need.
That would be best. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can always if fax is easy, you know the fax number's on there, or you can just email it back to me, whatever's easier for you.
That would be super.
For Ron's Guns, how much do you own of that? Are you 100% owner for that as well?
No, me and my brother own that 50-50. That is a new venture. It's actually only been opened up for about 3 or 4 months now.
Oh.
And if you go to Ron's Guns LLC, go to the website, you'll see that even the site's still under construction. You know, like I say, the gun store has only been in operation since the 1st of June.
Yeah,
it's doing well. You know, I don't see any reason why the gun store is not going to flourish and do good because the gun store is located in the same building that the insurance office is in. We own the building, and the building is a Main Street type. You know, building. It's got the insurance agency, and it's got the gun store, and there's five other tenants. And like I say, we own the entire building and use part of it and rent the rest of it out.
Oh wow! You're on a lot of different adventures
yeah,
over there.
I, I'm into everything, they say. And I keep telling my wife I'm trying to figure out what I want to do when I grow up. And, but, you know, me and my brother are both firearms instructors. You know, both of us have... both of us are concealed to carry instructors and firearm safety instructors as well. And so, you know, we teach the classes and all. You'll see all that on the website, so, you know, if you go check it out. And, you know, like I say, I retired from the insurance agency, well, it's about 4 or 5 years ago when I decided to kick Baghdad Lumber full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to make a long story short, I've been in the insurance business for 31 years, and I had just about all of it that I wanted. And, I wasn't ready to sell out, you know, my half of the agency. I get benefits, you know, from the agency for working there for 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of get a little monthly check every month from them. So I still, you know, on paper, I'm still president of that corporation, even though my brother runs it. And my daughter works in there and helps run it as well. And probably here before long, I'll probably sell her my interest of the agency out.
And
I'll get completely out of it. And then the gun storms is something that me and my brother started because we both, well, number one, we had the office space. So, you know, so we didn't have to worry about overhead.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you don't have to worry about overhead, well, that makes life a whole lot, you know, you don't have to worry about rent and all, you know, all of that. Well, that made that a no-brainer. And we both like guns and love guns, so naturally it was something we wanted to do. And I've always been a woodworker. That's what led me into the Baghdad Lumber. You know, I've always enjoyed, you know, building things and building furniture and making furniture.
Yeah.
And, you know, this had kind of started out as a hobby of mine. And like I say, it went from hobby to full-blown business.
Seemed That's
like
good.
Overnight. And, yeah.
Goes by fast, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I could email you. You said ron@bagdadlumber.com, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so I could email you the application and the short list of documents we would need. Once they're into me, I'll get everything, you know, submitted over, and we'll go ahead and get you your approval and then work with you from there. When do you think you can get the bank statements and tax returns and stuff like that into me?
I mean, I could probably get it all into you today or tomorrow.
Okay, perfect.
I've got everything, all the taxes and everything are on the computer except 2015, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, all I got to do is, you know, I could turn right around and email those to you. And, bank statements, you know, I'll just go back and copy the last 6 months and then scan those and send them to you. So, it wouldn't be too difficult.
Do you guys take credit cards as payments for anything?
Yes.
You do? So you do? Do you have merchant statements as well?
Yeah, but I don't really keep them. I've asked my accountant about it several times, and of course, you know, we log everything in QuickBooks, you know, as far as credit card payments, you know, versus checks and so forth. But as far as that little statement that the bank sends out every month that shows how much credit card, you know, payments you've received, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You know, we've never really, what you say, had a need to hang on to them.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you that they average around 10 to 12,000 a month in credit card payments.
Okay. The only reason is, you know, because the working capital loan is based on cash flow. So if you have, you know, the merchant statements that are separate from your bank statements, then we're able to see, you know, a general idea of the cash flow. We don't want to miss out on, you know, $12,000 a month. And
well, I don't know if this is any help to you or not, or if it could even be used. But like I said earlier when we was talking, you know, this is a lot of cash. A lot of cash comes through here.
Mm-hmm.
And And of course, you know, the cash is tries to be used in other ways, we'll just say. And I do keep a separate set of books on spreadsheet. And I don't know if that's of any help to you or not, but I mean, I can go all the way back to 2012 and, you know, pull spreadsheets and show you item by item what was sold each month for the entire year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, if you can, anything that will, you know, help me see the cash flow for the past 6 months, if it's easy for you to send over, you can send it over, and that way they can all take a look at it and stuff like that.
You know, it's tough, you know, like I say, I was in the insurance business for 31 years. I dealt with insurance underwriters. I know a little bit about what it's like trying to deal with loan underwriters. And, you know, it's hard to sometimes explain, you know, when you have a very, very creative accountant that sets up your corporations and leases things back to the corporation and, you know, reduces the amount of income that you are actually showing, mm-hmm. you know, taking in. You know, it makes it very difficult to get a loan, you know, when you go to the bank and go, how in the world is this guy making a $3,000 a month house payment? And, you know, and he's only bringing in $800 a month. And, but you've got your corporation, that's paying all your bills.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing that's illegal about it. You know, it's just the way everything, you know, way accountants get you set up, mm-hmm. To maximize, you know, the most tax benefits that you can get.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Like I said, just anything that shows your cash flow, if you want to send it over, you can. If not, you know, we could just work off the bank statements. That's up to you. So I will go ahead and I will send out the email as soon as we get off the phone. And I'll follow up with you tomorrow. When's a good time?
Let's see. I got probably tomorrow afternoon. I got a lunch appointment tomorrow midday, probably 2 o'clock on.
Okay, perfect. I'll give you a call, you know, just to see if there are any questions. If you got the application into me by then, great. And I'll get everything submitted, but I will touch base with you tomorrow around 2, just to go over everything. If the email itself, you can always reply, and it'll go directly to me, or my direct dial will be on there as well, so you can call me directly if you have any questions about anything, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Okay, perfect, Ron. So I'll go ahead, I'll send out the email right now, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
All righty, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.